Hey, I'm Jack.
And I'm Chad. And if you're listening to this podcast, you may be wondering, where can I get my hands on the rulebook to this amazing game they're playing?
Well, you're in luck, because Legends, the superhero role-playing game, is now available for purchase on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, Chapters Indigo, select comic and game stores, and even off our website, www.matchplaygames.ca.
So if you've ever dreamt of battling injustice, pick up a copy of Legends, the superhero role-playing game. The world can always use another superhero. Previously on Legends, a superhero story. You're at Chalky's for a little while, and Lancer walks in the door. I have something I hope you guys will like. There are four premier passes to the world premiere of Winners Never Quit 7. Falstaff, you actually auditioned for this movie.
I wonder if it ends any different than the other six movies.
There is a red carpet. Everybody's enthusiastic, but there's a couple of boys there more excited than you thought was humanly possible.
Hi, my name is Emily Matchett, and I'm guest starring today as the Human Shankno.
The man himself gets out. It is with great humility that I offer you Winners Never Quit 7, All-Star versus Dr. Ingenious, and the epic battle for the secrets of AI. Dart, you see six individuals come running in jeans and ratty kind of t-shirts.
I'm going to jump down and say, follow me.
Stop the screening. Stop it right now. Turn this shit off.
No, for once I agree.
Well, maybe we kill this second-rate hack. People will pay attention. Down below, the two kids there, one of them, his body is all of a sudden covered in purple amethyst, and he goes... And he disappears. Stop. And he reappears right beside one of the guys. The two doors are blown off.
So cool.
It looks like what can best be described as a living tornado.
Less cool.
God. You know, for people who hate technology, you actually use it quite a lot.
He looks visibly hurt by that.
I think I broke his brain.
Willie leaps into the air, and you encapsulate him within sort of a force field and launch him straight towards the elemental. Freezing rain comes down, and it falls down to its knees.
Great movie, All-Star. Top notch.
Back at Chalky's, a large man that walks in the front door, and he scans the room. All clear. Richard Benning walks to the door. I would like to sponsor your team.
Sponsoring the team on issue 17. Now they're sure to be seen, and isn't that keen?
And we're live.
Speak for yourself.
Live from Kukutlum.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Chad.
How are you?
Welcome back.
Hi, Chad.
Sorry.
Angus is not here.
It's my least favorite greeting of all time.
That is my little tribute to Angus Chad.
I don't know.
Hello, Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Hey, Snuffy.
Oh, hey, Snuffy. Welcome back. Nice to see everybody. It's been, again, I feel like it's forever since we've recorded.
It has been.
Coach is feverishly charging his dice.
I'm getting nothing but sevens on this one. So it's, and it's not even a seven dice.
Is that the one that I got you?
Yeah.
Lucky number seven.
Oh, you got a 19 there.
There, yeah, here we go. I'll stop now.
Oh, he's charging. Okay. Anyways, welcome back.
Hello.
We're recording a couple of weeks before Christmas, so we just had a little gift giving here and dice galore, and so we're anticipating some really good rolls tonight.
Yes,
so, yes, absolutely,
absolutely.
Aren't we always?
How's everybody been?
Just fabulous. Myself, speaking for myself, only myself.
Excellent.
Yes,
I don't want details.
Okay.
I've been doing great. I've just been trying to get all the Christmas shopping done. And
how's the new job?
It's turning out okay.
It's not so new anymore.
Not so new, I honestly had to take a second and go, a new job? What did I get?
It's been that long since
we lost been that
new job,
long.
That new job smell.
Cool.
Well, it's going well.
Excellent.
It's just the hectic before Christmas stuff, trying to get all the orders out.
Yes, you know. Madness. Morgan.
We started choreography rehearsals for Beauty and the Beast, so I'm really stiff and sore.
Woo-hoo.
Other than that, I'm doing fine.
Morgan was up and down and up and down and up and down and spinning on his knees. And
they're feeling it.
Are you salt or Peppa?
I'm salt.
Ooh.
No, nice. Angus is Peppa.
Angus is Peppa.
Caesar,
yes, I'm doing quite well, thank you. Yes, I'm figuring out what it's like to work in a different industry, but yeah, it's nice. Good. Yeah.
And getting headhunted as a performer.
And getting I wouldn't say so much getting headhunted.
That's okay. We're going to say it for you.
Okay, thank you. As much as there was no, I'm sure that there was no one.
I don't believe that for a second.
No, but that is cool.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. All right. Does anybody want to recap where we left off?
Well, we...
this will be great. Okay. All right. So, everyone, pull up a chair. Get cozy. Warm by the fire.
Here comes the longest
rendition. And I'll call Rusty. Sorry, that's a Canadian children's show reference.
Yes. And a little rocking chair for you to curl up in.
Exactly.
You don't remember that?
Yes, oh, okay. I totally remember that.
Rusty and Jerome.
Friendly giant.
Anyway, we were able to yet again successfully thwart a elemental attack in a theater with the use of our fabulous powers and our team efforts last time.
And the assistance of two special guests
to
the team.
Yes, of course.
It was great. I love how she does that voice.
Super Cyclone and Pop Rocks.
Yeah.
And Melvin. And don't forget Melvin.
Oh, Melvin.
Don't forget
Melvin. Melvin the Rock. I forgot.
You guys were very successful in defeating the air elemental. And I'm very excited. And this is going to go up on the Patreon. But Stefan has sent art for the elemental. So you guys are going to be the first ones to see it. So the fire elemental, and again, this will go up on our Patreon. Ooh. The air elemental, air. The earth elemental, because you saw all four when you got to Benny Biotech,
and
the water elemental.
These are
sweet.
He's so talented.
Thank you again, Stefan.
Thank you so much.
You're so talented.
You can't
find
the character sheets for the elementals in the book, but we will be putting the art up on the Patreon very shortly. And then in a little bit of time, we'll throw it up on the Discord as well. So
cool.
Yeah. And so after you guys finished being successful and stopping the air elemental, we all, as you are wont to do, headed back to Chalky's for some refreshments and so forth. And a certain someone came in and talked to you.
Yes, that's correct. Someone did. I know who. Mr. Richard Benning came
nice
in.
Nice save.
No, I knew who you were talking about. I was waiting for someone else to jump in.
It was all you, man. It was, you got this.
And he, at the end of the episode, told us that he wants to sponsor The Last Line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, we are going to pick right up where we left off. Mm. Richard Benning standing beside your table at Chalky's. Asking if you guys would come on board with him as a sponsor of the team.
I think we're probably just looking at each other, getting more and more excited about this idea.
Yes, I think we should, draw straws to see who says yes first.
I think we'll get splinters.
Is that a thing?
Draw straws, you're going to get splinters? What kind of straws do you use?
Wooden ones.
You and I don't have the same definition of straws.
You can't use plastic anymore, so you got to use paper or wooden straws, like bamboo.
There's no wooden straw.
Who uses a wooden straw?
Chad, apparently.
Yeah. Chad.
You can use a wooden straw.
I
usually use a metal straw.
If you're breathing underneath the water, and you want to...
use a reed.
Oh, I forgot you were in the Vietnam War.
Exactly.
I forgot about that. God damn, you're old. All right.
Deer Hunter. Watch the movie. Deer Hunter. I was in it.
Mow. Mow.
All right. Wow. All right. So he's made the offer. What do you guys say?
Then I'll turn around and shake his hand and say, I think we got ourselves a deal.
Excellent. I'm very happy to hear that. I tell you what, if, you know, next Monday, if you can meet me 10 a.m. at 1983 Claremont Court in Point Grey, which is the old New Olympus Airport, hangar number W88. And we'll meet you then.
Well, thank you in advance.
Yeah, should we bring anything?
Mr. Benning?
Just yourselves.
Okay, good.
I think we can
and,
handle
and
that.
A sense of wonder. No, I'm kidding.
That just sort of goes around with Mr. Benning. You know,
there you go.
Loud.
And just let me say this right now. Chalky, this one's on me. And he pays your guys' tab.
Oh, my God.
I don't think we've paid for a single thing at Chalky's.
Yeah. I haven't paid for a single thing at Chalky's. I was thinking about that a while ago, actually. Chalky sees you guys walk in there. He's like, well,
here goes another day.
He's just looking behind you to see who's coming in to pay for you. All right. So, so next Monday. So I think it's, it was Saturday night was Saturday the premiere.
Yeah.
Also, I was thinking about dates and where we were sitting.
I'm single. Full stuff is.
Oh, I was like,
No.
That's an announcement.
That was false stuff. Morgan is very happy.
You know what? Out of all the characters, the one who didn't need to advertise that.
Wow.
Sorry, dude. I apologize.
Oh, no, totally cool. It's going to make my romance option really cool when it finally happens, if it does.
Oh, I've got something special planned for you. Anyways, so our first encounter was May 23rd. And we pretty much went into training pretty much right away. Training takes 3 months, so June, July, end of August. I think you guys have been out and about and doing things for a couple of months now, because you're also in the hospital for quite some time. When a few weeks ago, Slick and
yes,
Didgeridoo and Drone beat the shit out of you. So right now, I think
us.
We're looking at the first week of November. So November 4th would have been the Saturday night. So that's when everything went down with All-Star. And he is suggesting that you meet on the 6th out at the old airport.
Okay.
Old airport.
The old airport. The new Olympus Skyport is the new airport up in towards the Greenbelt, which is a state-of-the-art brand new facility. The old airport is in Point Grey. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. So you guys are going to meet him on Monday. Before then, is there anything you want to do?
No.
I mean, you know, I can't. I got to tell you, though, like we do end up at Chalky's after everything that we do, but I got to tell you guys, I sure feel great when I leave there. I just feel invigorated. Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking maybe we should go to maybe check out the gym and maybe work out a little bit just to keep our senses and our talents a little honed, but I always feel good. But it's up to you guys. Like, we got a couple of days. Do you want to train together or do you want to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
We can train.
I'm completely on board with that idea.
Cool. So Sunday, you guys are going to head to the gym?
Yeah, we'll go.
Awesome. Yeah, let's get a workout in.
Awesome. Another thing, you know, you might want to, we talked a little bit about this offline, but I also encourage you guys like to think of different ways to use your powers, or think of combos the way you can use your powers. I think last time you launched Willy on a force projectile,
yes, yeah,
which is really cool.
Yeah.
So anything you guys can think of, if you'd like to practice and try, you certainly can do it in a non-combat situation in the gym. So here's a great opportunity if that's cool. What you'd like to do.
Sure. Is there anything that I can do? And just sort of like a meta question.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In order to improve my capability of like attack a specific part, like increase my aim.
Precision?
Accuracy.
My precision, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, precision is a power in the game. You can also, I believe you have fight training.
I do have fight training.
Yeah, so you can put training points into that to increase your accuracy and so forth. And you can call out where you're trying to hit somebody as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, but I also don't want to miss when I call it out.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yes. So your fight training, you can add that as you go. Like I say, or there is the precision power, mm-hmm. but that's going to cost you more. You'll probably have to save up a few levels worth of training points to take
copy
that.
Okay, yeah. Good. Okay, thanks. Da-ba-da.
So Sunday morning, you want to meet at the gym?
Let us meet at the gym. Yes.
Let cool. us and meet.
So this actually brings up another question I had is, where do you guys go home? Like, where do you go when you go home at night?
I'm currently staying in a hotel on a cot.
With your mom and dad?
With my mom and dad.
Right.
Because my house got blown up.
And because your house got blown up, are they... I'm assuming it's secretive where they're held up because
yes,
it got blown up specifically because of who
yes,
you
I'm,
are.
Yeah.
Right.
My assumption, and I am making an assumption, and we all know what happens when you assume.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What?
It makes an ass out of you and me.
It makes an ass out of me? You looked right at me when you said
those
you
and those are
such tense
are fighting
eye
words.
Contact.
Wow.
Anyways.
Morgan just made an ass out of me. I take back what I said before about Reggie. He's going to have a relationship with a donkey.
No. Anyway. Well, hey! Nothing new.
No, I would assume that there is something like that powers division would have set something up that...
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm making, again, a gross assumption there, but that if the attack was very specifically Reggie was targeted and his family...
Absolutely. Because you're a registered superhero, I think that... And I think Maddie probably helped out with that.
I would assume, yes.
Absolutely. That there was some, you know... There's some sort of not protective custody, but there is some people watching the situation, and it was secretive where they've been held up. So, perfect.
Yeah, but that's where I am.
Okay. And are you staying in the same room as your parents and just on a cot?
Sorry. I think yeah. I'm assuming they're not like they splurged for like you know the super, you know.
Six.
Whatever the equivalent of the Sutton Place would be here, you know, like it would, I'm assuming it would be like a hotel, Motel 8 kind of a place. Or
well, it might be a little bit fancier than that. But yeah.
My assumption is it maybe, if not a car, it would be like a pullout couch or something.
Perfect. Okay, great.
In there.
Excellent.
But it's not meant to be a permanent situation, obviously.
Okay, great. Raul, I know you have a house.
I do.
That you live in alone.
Yes.
Is there anybody that you notify or anything? You just go home to your house?
No, I just go to my house.
All right.
That's what I do.
All right. And what's kind of cool is because you're a military contractor, your house is off the books. So
exactly.
That's why no one knew where that was.
Exactly. That
except
is,
for you.
That is a thing.
And the freaky voice in your head.
It is. Well, you have to make it weird now. But yes, that is.
You have no idea.
I love that Falstaff is sleeping on a cot in a hotel in the same room as his parents, and he's gone.
Yeah, his parents are like, don't you have a friend? Don't you have somebody you can stay with?
No, I'm happy here. Just going to watch some television
Aster,
while you sleep.
Aster could offer, but Aster didn't offer.
I was going to.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Social pressure. Superhero pressure. <Yeah.
laughs> Peer pressure. Super peer pressure.
Do we know we haven't talked about this? Do we know what neighborhood your house is in?
I was actually just going to look in the map because
okay,
I have never thought about it. So if you want to go around
sure,
a little
sure,
further,
sure,
and I will look into the
map. All right, Pat.
Well,
actually, you stayed at your store, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
You were staying at the back of the store.
Yeah.
So are you sharing the Chesterfield at Reggie's parents?
No,
everybody's in one.
One of the other reasons why I like Chalky's as much as I do is that Chalky's got a room in the back that
that's where Artie stays.
I know.
Artie's got cold feet.
And he snores. I'm a bit of an insomniac too, so I don't really need much downtime. So I find myself puttering around Chalky's place, and sometimes I'm in the storage room. Sometimes I'm on the pool table in the morning, but Chalky's pretty cool with it.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he
really cool with it?
It's probably because this is the first he's heard of it.
He's like, comes in at the night to check on Artie and say, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, actually, that hasn't happened yet because I actually get out of there before he shows up. So whether he
so
actually
Artie doesn't
knows
even
that,
know.
I'm not sure. But I kind of hide around there. So.
All right. Well,
he sleeps among the beer cakes.
Okay, so you're okay. All right, fair enough. Chalky kind of turns a blind eye to that. Then. All right. And I think we've established you do have a little apartment.
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as, you know, do we get paid for being superheroes?
You do not.
Then I can't
not
afford
yet.
Rent.
You know.
Not yet. No. So okay. So yeah. Well, you may be now. Who knows? Now that you're a sponsored team. So.
Yeah. I think I've probably just been relying on some savings for a while and hoping that, you know, a sponsorship or some form of salary is going to kick in.
Perfect.
And that's why I shook Richard Benning's hands right away.
Perfect.
Like, please, I need to pay rent.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Raul, did you decide what neighborhood you're living in?
Yes. I like, you know, somewhere between Old Town and Greenbelt. Like,
okay.
Yeah, like nothing fancy, like nothing looking out into the you know.
Like by Billy's Bits and Bobs?
That's right in the Greenbelt. That's up by Lost Lake.
Yeah, no, like somewhere right here where this number four is. And I don't know what the number four means. Like somewhere around here.
Okay. That's a nuclear waste.
That's fine.
Perfect. Well, you have a bit of traveling to do to get into the city. So
I do, yes.
Yeah. Do you have a vehicle?
Yes,
I
do.
Can we talk about that?
No, but I do. I don't know. Do I need a vehicle?
No, you take transit.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, you're good. Okay.
Yeah, I'm good
cool.
for transit.
I heard you were pretty good on a unicycle.
This is true.
All right. So it is Sunday morning. We are arriving at the gym. What do you guys want to work on?
I don't know. Let's see. What do you guys think? How does that sword thing works with you and the voice thingy? And how can we put it to good use?
The voice thingy?
The voice thingy. It's a thing.
Well, it seems to, when I make this attack, it my sonic attack, and I quote the precious words of the bard, I, holding this and drawing it and pointing it at the target, my victim, as you may say, it seems to double the damage.
Nice.
From what I can tell.
Ooh. What else does it do?
It looks really fucking cool. I don't know.
Well, I just, we're just curious. No, I could,
you're not wrong.
It completes my outfit.
This is true. Yes.
It complements it well. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
But, I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I can't tell you. But I wonder, is there anything that you guys can do? Looking at Paramount and Dart is, you know, like...
Well,
I wonder.
Like, I've kind of got Willie, we've got a little bit of a thing going on with how he is faster and quicker and more agile with my blast as well. So I want to work on a little bit of accuracy with him and maybe some... lack of a better term, like gymnastics of some sort, so that if we get into a little bit of a tussle, I'd like to be able to know and work through some moves with him. But anybody else is more than willing to go dart if you want to stick on the wall and, you know, we can figure something out. I don't know. Maybe we should ask Coach. He might be able to help us. Is he around?
you can't see him.
No, oh, damn.
Okay. Coach appears when Coach wants to.
We established this in season one. You don't find the coach.
The coach finds you.
That's true.
Okay, so Paramount, how would Paramount be able to create like a disc, like a satellite dish to put in between Falstaff's hand and his sword in order to create, you know, like more of a
focus it,
therefore increase the damage even further.
Well, that's a cool thought.
That's a really cool thought.
Like this is the sword.
Mm-hmm. No, I get you.
No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
Let me double check something. Keep talking.
Yeah, like this.
So it's sort of like the...
Yeah, like the what is this? Like, the, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like create a... Whoosh,
yeah,
put it exactly. Like that and then... Whoa, you know, like, did you, I'm thinking, did you see Incredible Hulk?
Who didn't?
And like those thingies.
Okay, so that's a really cool idea. Do you have force constructs, or do you just have right now force field,
I think I
force blast? I don't think you have constructs.
We were looking at it. I know we did. Because we were tallying up what to do next. No, no.
I don't. So not yet. So what I'll say is that is a super cool idea. And I think you guys can work on it. And so we'll just kind of hand wave it. So you work on it for a while. It's almost like a, what do they call it? It's a parabolic dish or something.
Yeah.
So basically it would be, and I think how it would work would be when Falstaff uses his sword, it's not that it's projected through the sword. It just, because you have to have the sword out. Cause if you remember when you first tried to use it, the sword was vibrating down by your side. So you literally have to have it up so it can project through, and it's just like it amplifies it out. So I think even having it around Falstaff, because it's generated from him. So if you put it around the sword, it would block the sound. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. he's holding the sword. Mm-hmm. I'm literally holding my hand out. Good Lord.
Perfect for an audio medium.
Like this.
Exactly. But yeah, exactly. Just like that.
Like this.
Is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Caesar. Wow.
That's quite the
people
art,
who
man.
Are listeners at home. Caesar just hand drew the most detailed. It's like a it's like a Todd McFarlane drawing.
It's
so good.
Yes, it's a Caesar original.
It's a Caesar original.
It's gonna go on the Patreon to whomever. to whomever.
Oh God, I hope it does.
Perfect. Yes, perfect.
Yeah, I'm signing it right now. Like, yeah. Look at this.
Oh, very nice.
Wow.
Very nice.
Oh, wow.
So again, so I think that's a super cool ability. Once you level up at some point and you get constructs, because right. so you can't, because that's exactly what that's for, is to right. make different
but,
shapes and
but
stuff.
But right now, wouldn't he be able to do this to just put in a force field behind?
It's not yet.
Okay. No, the only not thing yet. Currently, if I understand correctly, is I could blast first, and then he could hit with the sonic, or he could go sonic first, then I could blast to sort of go do a double tap.
I don't know what that would necessarily
like
do, like, other than the blast would hit, and then on your turn,
yeah.
it would be like getting hit with some water, and then somebody whacking you with a shovel.
That was only once,
right?
Yeah.
So I think this other idea I think is super cool that it amplify, and so yeah, so like next time it's sort of in the next realm of what you're doing with the constructs within there. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So you work on that. You're just not quite getting it. You're not quite getting the right shape to it. I think that's the key, is finding the right shape to have the sounds bounce off correctly and away it goes. So when you actually have the construct power, that'll work. Perfect.
Dot and I have been chatting and working on a concept of using my new sonic propulsion. Mm-hmm. My little Swiss Army Man propulsion.
And my jump.
And her jump of grabbing. And I grab an Atom bot that just happens to be there.
Oh, hello.
Hi, I'm just going to borrow you for a second. And I
of
do,
course.
And
that's I, what I'm here for.
And I grab him and I do...
that's a little rough.
Sonic propulsion. But here's my question, Chad. Like meta. Can I use my sonic propulsion...
He's getting smaller.
Okay. I'm halfway to the wall.
He's going down a drain.
Can I use my sonic propulsion to vertically?
Vertically?
Yes.
Like for yourself to?
Yes.
Yes.
So.
Again, let me just double check. Really. Keep talking.
So we would, using my sonic propulsion. Hey, Dot, how about a high five?
And I
grab the Atom and I use my sonic propulsion vertically as she uses her jump.
Yeah. So we end up at the same kind of peak in the air, and you've brought the Atom bot up with you.
Yes.
And then I grab them by the shoulders and like kind of crash back down to Earth, doing absorption and kind of smashing them into the ground.
Okay. Hang on a sec. So you want to jump?
It's like a super high five. Pew.
Okay. So you want to grab somebody?
Yeah.
Caesar, draw it.
Jump. You want to grab somebody? Jump into the air.
Yeah.
And then do a handoff to Dart,
who will drain the dude.
Who will drain the
dude? And then it's like
as
a slam into
Earth.
The ground. Or it's she like just both... hits him, and then I still hold him, and then I slam him to the earth. One of the two.
We both take off at the same time and meet at the top of our, at the zenith of our jumps.
The only thing is, sonic propulsion is not vertical. That's what I just double checked.
Oh, okay.
It's to increase your run speed. Like you can like,
okay,
you can scooch along. It's not, unfortunately, like Banshee, where you scream and it causes him to fly.
However, right? However, what if, and I'm just, let me draw it. Hear me out. What if you grabbed a dude, went on your back and screamed upwards, throwing him into darts.
Try like that too.
You definitely can. So that's yeah.
So that would be sonic propulsion. You're doing that as sonic propulsion.
Sonic propulsion is the reverse of propelling you. And you wouldn't even need to go on your back. You just need to be lower than the person. And if you wanted to, it would be a way to propel somebody like towards dart or towards like up in the air.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would work.
Yeah.
Now the thing is though is you have to come up with a nifty name for that too.
Jumpy thingy. No, I'm joking. No. I'm joking. That was a joke.
What does jumpy thingy
sound like in Spanish?
I don't know. La cosa del salto?
That's good. Yeah.
We got it, guys.
No, but that's...
Eureka!
No, that's cool. That's a cool little signature combo move. And just so you guys know, with combo moves, what I think is really cool about them is that... Either one of you, a signature, the ability, either one of you can call for that attack to take place on their turn. And then the other person who is in a joint of there, they basically get a bonus action. So like in season one, when Dusk Fox and Atomic would do the Fox Fling, if it's my turn and Atomic called for it, you know, Dusk Fox would go... it would be probably you'd have to do an attack roll to hit, and then Dart would have to do an attack roll to hit the person and stuff. Yeah. And then it would be a combined damage thing. So it's a bonus action basically that the one person gets. So that's cool. I really like that. That's great.
Good.
Okay.
So we work on that too.
So you two are working on that.
Yeah, we're practicing that one.
Yeah. Isn't it anything else?
Nope. I'm just.
And while you're doing that, then you hear a voice. Not bad. Not bad. Those are some pretty inventive things. Sorry, I was doing my hair.
Coach! You been, coach?
I've been good. Anything else you guys want to work on?
I don't know. Coach, what do you got for us? Do you have any ideas on how to increase our...
Well, this particular move looked pretty interesting. And he walks over and he turns on. There's a TV up in the corner. And you guys haven't seen this yet, but it's press coverage of the night before at the movie theater. And cameras caught the last bit of the battle as it spilled out into the lobby. And it showed the first thing you guys see was Paramount projecting out and it looking like a ferret coming whistling from where you are towards the air elemental. And the commentator, the reporter was like, I don't know if that man threw that ferret or what's happening, but it seemed to be effective. And the coach said, you used a force field, didn't you, buddy?
I sure did, coach.
That's pretty clever.
Thanks.
You know, if you work at it, you could probably toss more than a ferret.
You mean like a person?
Possibly. Maybe somebody who, I don't know, who could fly or who could glide.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, I don't actually fly.
So we both raised.
Sorry.
Okay.
Looked at each other and wiggled their eyebrows in a slightly disturbing manner,
and could turn his hands into flying lunchboxes.
I could do, or you know, knives, you know, whatever, you know, it could be, you know.
Well, do you have any? That sounds great, coach. Have you got any specific training ideas for us that we can go into?
No, I think you've already got the basis of it. Just something to try out. Just something
like
to think
it.
About.
Thanks, man. By the way, hair's great.
Oh, thank you. Yours too.
Well, thanks.
This seems very self-promoting. I don't know.
So,
yeah.
So that's great. So everybody's got a little something that you guys were working on. Anything else before we move on?
No. I guess, you know, next time we level up, I'll try to increase my accuracy on attacks because I've got that in mind.
Cool. So we do have a couple of signature moves now. So we can't quite do the sort of the cone parabolic curve yet.
We'll think of a name.
But Falstaff and Dart have a propulsion slash jump attack, poison attack thing that you guys are working on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's great. And Paramount and Aster, the force field launch that basically would launch... Man, you could go a long ways if you were doing that. Would launch Astor to be able to, like, a human missile.
I'm thinking kind of we call it the Asterator.
Oh, I like that.
Asteroid?
That's very good. Ooh.
I was thinking the launch box.
I was also thinking that. Yes.
Love it. The launch box. That's great. That's brilliant.
That's perfect.
Box. I like the Asterator as well.
Oh, the launch box.
Launch box is pretty good. Wins.
Excellent. All right. So you guys spend the day in the gym, and it's a long day. But of course, time works differently.
Yes.
So you spend several, you know, many, many hours in the gym, but you come out, not that much time has passed. I'm assuming since Chalkies is right close by,
we'll go to Chalkies,
get some stuff. And before too long, it is Monday morning. Are you heading out to the airport?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Are we meeting on the way?
Just meet
at the door.
Do you meet there or do you meet on somewhere and then go together?
I think we will team up together and get in, get all together and go.
That sounds like a plan.
Yes.
Yes.
Work as a group. Stay
all right.
Group.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right.
We work
sorry,
best
I didn't
together.
Have my character voice there.
Okay. So, the team needs to go to hangar W88. So you get to the airport, which is at 1983 Claremont Court in Point Grey, is the official address. The new Olympus Airport, the old new Olympus Airport. There's still planes coming in and out of it, but certainly it's long past its glory days. The new Olympus Skyport opened recently, and it is a state-of-the-art, super high-tech facility, and so a lot of cargo planes coming into here now and that sort of thing. A lot of the hangars are a little dilapidated and run down. W88 is very far away from the airport proper. And as you're coming up close to it, you see there is a long limousine outside, and there is this dilapidated old building that has a big W88. So it's, you know, row W number 88 down at the far end, and it's written on the top. And it is a huge, huge building. And standing out front are Richard Benning, his ever-present bodyguard, and a young lady. Looks to be in her mid-20s. She's wearing overalls, goggles on her head, and these high-tech steampunk-looking gauntlets. And she's smiling, has a huge smile on her face.
Caesar just adopted a huge smile on his face.
Which, I don't know, I smiled.
And he's turned his headphones into goggles. So it's really weird. No.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, yeah, so we got...
Good morning.
Hello, thank you all. Thank you all for coming. I really appreciate it. I think we can do some good things together. I'm, like I said before, I'm so impressed with the four of you. Actually, with the five of you, or is it six of you? I don't know. Where are your other compatriots this morning? The fellow all in black and the French one. Are they around anywhere?
Badger.
Well, they're not here. They're more like associates. They're not
fair enough.
They're not, you know, part of the main roster, I would say.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Things they are more than welcome as well. But I'm so glad that the four of you decided to participate and come on board. We'll work out all the legalities later, but there will be, you know, compensation, of course, and medical plan and dental and that sort of thing, proper employment. First of all, I'd like you to meet somebody, this young lady here. Her name is Elizabeth, and everybody calls her Bert.
Hi, Bert.
I shake her hand.
And she enthusiastically shakes your hand, big smile on her face. And she, and he says, Bert is quite a remarkable young lady, quite possibly the most gifted engineer that I've come across. And at her young age, everything you're going to see in this building is thanks to Bert. And she has agreed to be your on-site liaison going forward. So if you need anything, just ask Bert. And excellent. She says, actually, I have a code name too, because I think, I don't know, I just love superheroes. This is so cool. So if you wanted to, I mean, you can call me Bird if you want, but my code name is Pioneer.
Ooh.
I love that.
Pioneer.
And nice to meet you, Pioneer.
Richard kind of chuckles to himself and shakes his head, and he says, you're maybe one day, but just stick to the technical stuff for now. And she just rolls her eyes and says, oh, well, we'll see. I'll be out there one day. Anyway, so I hope you like what you see. And if you ever need anything, like I say, I'll be here all the time, and I'm here to help out. So if you ever need anything, just let me know.
Well, thank you very much, Pioneer.
Just then, Richard's cell phone goes off, and he takes a look at the key at the screen, and he says, oh, damn it. All right. Bert, can you show them around? I'll catch up with you guys later. And he turns around to go back to his car, and she says, "Okay, so I've programmed in, and as you get closer to the hangar, it looks super dilapidated, just like all the rest of them, very run down. You know, the metal is kind of rusting; it's broken down stuff. But upon closer inspection of W88, it is a fortress. Like, it is super super high tech. It looks like it's been painted and had almost like set deck on it to make it look like all the other ones. Mm-hmm. But upon closer inspection, you see there are no gaping holes like in the other hangars or anything like that. And the doors look like they're sealed, like the big hangar doors at the one end. And she goes, the entrance is just around the side. And so you walk around the side, and there's a door there with a keypad on it. And she punches a code in, and the door opens up. And she goes, after you.
Do the little thing, and I gesture for you guys to enter first, because sure. I am a gentleman.
Thank you so much.
I'm not.
No, I very cautiously.
Aster,
you know,
and I get stuck going in at the same time.
Excuse me. Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. So you go. So
okay. Yeah, I'll go in.
Okay. Everybody follows?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
So it's very dark in there. It's very dark. She goes, oh, sorry. I should have turned the lights on. And so she scoots in last, and she hits a button on the wall, and it is the huge halogens up top that, and they all turn on. And right in front of you is a massive, all you can really see is a massive tarp. It like a tarp wall. And if you look up, you see that it's hooked up at the top, like with a beam of some sort, and then cables going up to the ceiling. So it's concealing something. And can everybody give me a census contest or intelligence contest, please?
Before
just you haven't rolled in a while.
Before anything happens, I go like, what? No flying candles?
that would be a 33.
Okay, 33.
36.
How much?
36.
36.
Okay, so it got
senses?
For Willy.
Oh, for Willy.
Yeah.
So it got stuck between a 19 and a 1. And when I moved the chair, it fell into the 1. So can I get a redo?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
I got a 36.
36?
31.
Yeah, 30. 31. Okay.
Aster has an embolism.
So, Dart, I'm going to say that, and Pat, with all the training you've done now, and the fact that you've been with Willy in a couple of confrontations, stuff like that, you actually, he's becoming easier and easier to understand to you. Mm-hmm. Some animals, you're able to, I guess communicate with is the right term, but again, it's very basic communication. Willie's thoughts are starting to become much clearer and much, like, you think that obviously whatever experiments were done with him, his intelligence has increased exponentially. So
cool.
You get the image in your mind that he's trying to tell you about some buttons.
Hmm.
And at the same time, Dart, you notice right beside you, it's one of those hanging controllers like on a crane. Mm-hmm. And there's some buttons on it, and Bert says it's Dart, right?
Yeah
you can push that red button if you like.
I absolutely like, so I'm gonna confidently push the red button.
Cool. So
how does Willie feel about that, though? Does he
Willie's excited. Willie doesn't have opposable thumbs, so he's fine.
What the fuck? No, sir.
Little,
and you get this little ferret going. A teeny tiny claw coming up, one middle claw coming up from the ferret.
Okay, so as the giant tarp, and you realize upon closer inspection, it's around something, and as it gets raised up, there is a very sleek, large jet sitting right there in front of you guys, and it looks like that.
Oh my god, it's a jet.
I lost my dice.
Robin just dumped a full dice tray on the floor. Excellent.
I'm sorry.
As I was saying, so this is just the little representation of what the jet looks
Whoa,
like.
Whoa, that's awesome.
That's incredible. So
and
I think that should be the noise it makes.
Bert says, she said, so this hopefully will get you around a little bit quicker. She says, this is the M17, the Armored Rescue Engagement and Salvage Unit, or ARES for short. So it carries up to 10 passengers. There is a computer bank inside for, we can show you all this stuff. And I don't know if you want to look in it right now, or I can show you all the other goodies that are in the base. What would you prefer?
I want to see the goodies.
You mentioned it's for us to use.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Did Mr. Benning not explain? This is your base. This is your. These are all for you.
Oh.
Then I'm gonna excitedly squeal and run up to the jet and try and scope it out.
I go like, hey, Sanyo, Sanyo.
That's
you know, like the speakers.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I got hey, does it have YouTube?
YouTube?
Yes.
On the computer? If you want to get YouTube, I guess it could. Sure.
Okay. Do you think there are any videos on how to fly jets? Because, you know.
Oh, no. And she laughs to herself. And she said, oh, everybody told me you're so funny. So
it's a gift. It's a curse.
No. You'll have to be trained for it. But we've got the schedule lined out for you guys as well. So the training will happen. It's also fairly well automated as well. But we'll have training. So did cool. you want to look in the jet, or did you want to see what else we have to offer?
Whatever you guys would want.
I already
to.
Ran up to the jet.
So there you go. Okay, no,
our decision has already been made.
Yeah, we need to go. Cool. We need to go get
Sorry,
dark.
Guys. I'm just really excited. It's okay. This is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
Okay, so you go inside the jet. There is seating for up to 10 people. There is quite a large compartment in the back, looks like for cargo and that sort of thing. And it has, at the back of it, it has one of those, the ramps that come down, like you see on those huge cargo jets. And, she says there's a big computer station with, 180 degree screens. There is a small table, and she says, oh, this is really interesting. And she presses a button on it, and it looks like a 3D topographical map that pops up.
That's so cool.
What's that?
Sort of holographic?
Sort of, but it's almost more real. It's almost like the maps in the Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
You see that they can. Yeah. And so it's right now it's the map of the airport. So there's topographical. So it's all the different heights and everything like that. She said it has vertical takeoff and landing, stealth capability, and it can land on water and is watertight for limited submersible exercises. And although we've theoretically, you could go into the upper atmosphere or even into space because it is highly pressurized and secure. It's also very well armored, and it has one offensive power blast cannon in the front.
Just the one.
Just yes, just one. And she looks really downcast.
No, that's fine. No.
Do you want more? I tried to get this done.
Pioneer.
I think it's
fine.
Absolutely brilliant. It's Pioneer. Great. It's Thank great. So we don't much. Need more than one blast. If you need more than one blaster up front, you've got a different problem.
I kind of cuff Pat on the back of the head as like.
And Willie looks at Pat as well and just like.
I reach out to the topographical map and just kind of try and spin it.
you can rotate it, so it can it's super high tech in there. Super high tech.
And I don't know.
So it's kind of like Richard Stark's wet dream kind of a thing.
Who?
His first one.
Fuck. Nothing.
Who?
No one.
Who's Richard Stark?
I don't fucking know. Did I totally Tony Stark. God damn it, Morgan.
Good old Dick Stark.
Oh my God.
I am so fucking tired. I apologize to the superhero community.
Dad is Howard Stark.
Yes.
Richard Stark. I
don't know where the fuck I got that
Richard comes from Richard Betting, so is it, yeah, there you go.
I am so sorry. I am really not that much of an idiot.
He will repent.
All good.
Now we're going to have to watch Iron Man 1, 2, and 3.
Yes, I will. Well, I'll do that anyways.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Are you paying attention?
I'm paying attention.
Were you singing the theme song?
I was singing Jolene.
No, you weren't. You're going dum dum da da dum dum da da dum dum. What is up, super friends?
Jolene.
Yeah, Jolene, thank you so much for listening, Jolene. Thank you so much for listening to Jolene.
Since it's been 51 minutes since you heard the joke, where am I going with this?
I don't know. We have to stop recording these late at night.
No, we don't.
So freaking tired.
No, we don't. We're singing Jolene because of the little Mr. Chad.
Sponsoring the team, Keen.
All the rhyming stuff. And I went on Rhyme Zone and I looked at all the things and I was having too much fun looking Jolene. At all the things. Yeah, Jolene. So we started saying, vaccine. Anyway, there, I've connected the dots for you. You're welcome.
I ain't got no spleen.
Anyways, he doesn't have a spleen. Fun
I don't
fact.
Have a spleen. Fun fact. Actually, it's not that fun.
He's immunocompromised.
It is.
Get your
true.
Vaccines.
Anyways, thank you so much for listening to Legends, a Superhero Story. We really appreciate it. Hope you're enjoying issue 17. Some big stuff, big changes happening for the team this issue, and lots of exciting things to come as well. So we hope you're having a good time with it. I'd like to give a quick shout out to our new patron, Wyatt. Thank you so much. Woohoo! Thank you so much for your support. And shout out to everybody on the Discord. Great hearing the feedback on there. And the looking for a game channel. I know that there's several games going on all the time, and it looks like they're having a good time with it. Loving the character creation stuff on there too, and the character art. So keep it up, and tell a friend to join up, because it's a great community. Also, big thanks to our editor, Matt. You're killing it. And also once again to Emily, who puts together the mid-show showbreak show.
It's the bane of my existence is to come here once every couple of weeks.
Once every couple of weeks, usually dinner's involved. And
and sit here and make jokes and have you begged for me to cut this break down, the showbreak show. To cut it down more.
It took us 15 episodes or 14 episodes to land on that name.
The mid-show showbreak show.
So thank you so much for listening. Please tell a friend. Share, subscribe.
We love seeing
review.
So many of you at Fan Expo.
And Fan Expo is coming up.
No, we loved seeing everybody who came to see us on Saturday and yesterday, and we look forward to seeing everybody today, which is Monday.
It's true. Absolutely.
We're recording this at 11:30 before the midnight drop.
No, Fan Expo is this weekend. I still don't have my booth number for some reason. I don't know why, but we're all scheduled for load in tomorrow between 5:30 and 6. We're gonna have a great time on Saturday and Sunday and Monday.
We had a great time on Saturday and Sunday.
That's not how time works. Anyways.
Yes, it will. When this, comes out.
That's right.
Saturday and Sunday will have you passed.
Already happened. No. This episode.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm so confused. Oh, my God.
This episode comes out this Monday. It comes out this Monday. That's why I'm here.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Oh, my gosh. I forgot that we're, no, because we've recorded past episode 20, so I'm all confused. I'm really tired. Anyways.
Chad. Your shit together, man.
What does a stroke feel like?
That's
anyways,
not funny.
Yeah, so we had a great Saturday and Sunday at Fan Expo.
Now I know why you direct and I don't act anymore. That was rough, dude.
yeah, so hopefully some people have stopped by. It'd be great to see everybody.
People have
and,
stopped by.
If you hear this first thing Monday morning, then come on by today.
Yeah, we'd love to see airplane. You.
Yeah, come to Vancouver.
Go to the Fan Expo.
Perfect.
Just a like day trip. Did you hear? Okay, side note. Rental prices are so expensive in Vancouver right now that there is a UBC student who's living with his parents in Calgary because it is cheaper to fly to Vancouver for his class that is twice a week than to rent in Vancouver.
Holy shit. That doesn't surprise
me, though. He's commuting to UBC Calgary.
Does not surprise
anyway,
me.
Anyway, you should
that's
get on
crazy.
A plane and come to Fan Expo today.
Crazy.
If a kid in UBC can do it, you can do it, too.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So, thank you for listening. Please tell a friend. If you're interested in the game and would like to buy the book, you can get that off our website, www.matchplaygames.ca. Also off of Amazon or Chapters, Barnes & Noble. But the least expensive way to do it is to do it right from our website. So, please pick a copy up. That would really, really help us. And tell a friend. Tell two friends. Tell a whole bunch.
Every single one of your friends.
I just had a hippopotamus for lunch. I don't know why I said that, but that was, wasn't that a thing?
No.
Sure.
It's I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I don't know.
I've never heard I had a hippopotamus for lunch. You've seen a hippo in real life.
Yes.
They're fucking terrifying. You don't want to eat that. It's going to eat you.
It would eat me. It would, absolutely.
The scariest thing is when you're on the river and they disappear and you're like, where the fuck are they? They're like,
You're on the river in a tiny little 12 foot fucking flat boat that is literally an inch and a half above the water. And the hippo disappears and the thunder and lightning clouds are rolling in and it's windy and it starts to rain and it starts
to
thunder.
You're like, this is where we fucking
die. And we're going to fucking die. We're just going to die.
That was also cool that we saw elephants fighting and like, that was sick.
It was so cool that
we didn't die.
That we didn't die. I thought for sure we were going to die.
We also saw an alligator on that boat ride.
We saw everything. I also saw my life flash before my eyes. Anyways. Thank you so much for listening. We won't bore you with details of our African.
I would argue that this is the least boring thing we've ever talked about.
That's quite true.
It's our African river safari.
Our African river safari
where the hippos
last year.
Disappeared and we thought we were going to die.
Oh my God. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. Hopefully we saw you at Fan Expo. And
we
until
did.
Next time.
Oh, you're literally throwing it to me. Stay vigilant.
Wow. So that's the jet. She's. Do you want to look at more stuff here?
What's the name of the jet again? The acronym?
Ares.
Ares.
Yes.
Copy.
The technical is it's the M17, but yeah. M17. We call it the Ares.
Yeah, this is what we call it. Dart. It's
Yeah.
Yeah, Bert.
That's going to bother me for the
pioneer.
Rest of the night. I'm just telling you
this
that right
the
now.
Ares.
This is the Ares. Yeah, that's fine.
The Tony Stark thing. It's going to bother me for the rest of the night.
But you didn't say Tony Stark. You said Richard Stark.
I know. It's going to bother me for the rest of the night.
Don't worry. We are your friends. We support you. And we're not going to let you forget it. So I don't bother you. Just
anybody is going to be like, Morgan,
sure, Bert,
you're a fucking idiot.
All right. So she says, we've got, there's lots more to see. If you'd like to follow me.
Okay. Yes, we'd like to follow you.
All right. So she walks down, actually, instead of going back down the gangplank, kind of where you came up, she walks you down. She opens up the back door, which is the back ramp. And behind the jet is, it looks like the most souped up, cool looking SUV you guys have ever seen.
Oh my goodness.
And she said, this is, well, there's no other real word for it. There's a long technical name for it, but we just call it the Bull. And so this is a cross section of the interpretation of what it looks like.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Oh, that's cool.
Again, we'll post these. So,
nice. Bert, I didn't think you could top the jet, but this is so cool.
So now the only difference is the back, it goes back a little bit further and it has four wheels on the back. So it's not cut off so much. So it seats six, and in the back it has cargo space for two. Well, we'll keep them a secret for now, but for a couple of other vehicles to help you get around. But there's cargo space back there. It has resistant netting. It also comes with a power blast cannon and a sonic blast cannon. Is quite armored and has seating for six.
Oh my
God. And this is the bull. So this will help you get around the city. It will fit just nice and snugly in the back of the Ares in case you need to take it on longer distances. There's not much room in the Ares if this is on there as well, but it does fit snugly back there.
Yeah, well, you know, that, we can just sit in incredible. It inside the jet, so, you know, it's fine.
Exactly.
It'll be perfect.
Exactly. And she goes, last but not least in the vehicle department, and again, I hope you like these, is over in the corner there's a couple of tarps over a couple of vehicles. Does anybody want to pull it up? She goes, anybody can go ahead and
at this point Dr. has already gone and pulled
I'm
one
I'm just
off,
pulling
obviously.
Tarps,
pulling tarps? All right, so
you get a car and you get a car.
Actually, so underneath the tarps
I cannot be contained.
Underneath the tarps they look like that.
Yes!
Oh, nice.
So there's two.
God.
She said, it's one of them is called the mongoose number one, and the other one is mongoose number two. What's really interesting about the mongoose is, and the front, the two tires, you can see on the front, there's two tires, and on the back, there's two tires, and yep. It's shaped like a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. But she said, what's really interesting, and she reaches over and she presses a button on the little panel, is the tires actually split apart. And it becomes like a hover bike. And she said,
nice.
they can fly. They can actually fly at a height of about 100 feet.
Oh God.
Or they can be on the ground as a regular motorcycle. But, when designing these, what I tried to do is two of these will fit in the back of the bull and the bull fits in the back of the Ares. So theoretically, all three can fit all together like a giant
Russian doll.
Oh my gosh, that's so smart. Okay, I forgive you for being mean to me earlier.
Oh my God.
I wasn't trying
incredible.
To be mean to you, honestly.
I know, I'm kidding. I'm busting your chops.
I was, no, but you know what? I got to tell you, Bert, I've been really quiet here because this is stunning stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Stunning.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm very excited because I've never been given an opportunity to really create stuff for people before, you know, other than little weenie things. But Mr. Benny gave me this opportunity and he said that, you know, at some point he'd have a team for me to work with and just to go crazy. And so here it is. So,
well, I can personally say I am very glad you're on our team.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I just enthusiastically shake her hand like a million miles a minute.
Oh my goodness.
I'm just
thank you.
We are so excited to be working with you. This is going to be incredible.
Thank you very much.
There's more.
Pioneer.
But wait.
So, Bert is actually named after one of our listeners. One of our huge supporters and one of our very favorite people of all time, Elizabeth, who came down to Gen Con with us over the summer.
Oh.
Elizabeth Pollock.
Oh,
and so,
Elizabeth.
So Bert and Stefan came up with amazing art for her as well. And so that is Bert.
Yay.
So we will post Bert on the Patreon as well. And
Bert's going to be my best friend.
Welcome to the team, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she looks, I have to say, Chad, like, you know, I love, you know, your acting and everything. You sound a lot less...
Birdie?
Less imposing than what the drawing looks like. I looked at the drawing and I was like, oh wow.
Yeah, she does look incredibly badass.
Oh yeah, yeah. She is.
She got a big smile on her face.
No. Hey, I didn't say she wasn't smiling.
But in all honesty, it's Elizabeth is pretty badass herself.
Yes, she is. Yeah. Absolutely, she is. Yeah. No, we love Elizabeth. So, so happy. She's a huge supporter of the podcast, and we loved having her at Gen Con, and she's going to Gen Con again next year.
Yay.
So, same with Tash.
I'll see you then.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway, so Bert says, so you guys are looking at the two mongoose, and she said, do you want to see the rest?
Yes.
The
rest.
Absolutely.
There's more?
Okay. Yes. So, she said, if you come back here, so the plane and the Ares and the mongoose, they're kind of in the front two-thirds of the hangar. In the back third of the hangar, it's kind of a walled off area. There is
a Christmas miracle.
There's a large meeting area, and she said, and now this back area, it actually can be lowered down to the lower level if we want, but it's all up here for now. And you notice in there is a huge meeting table with about 12 chairs around it. There's a workbench over on one side. She said, sorry about the mess, that's my workbench over there. And there's all sorts of tools and looks like half finished experiments and that sort of thing. There is a large computer bank with multiple monitors, and there is a right in the middle, there is a huge, it looks like a much larger version of the topographical map that was on the Ares itself. And again, she goes and presses a button, and it the same sort of map of the airport comes to life. And she said, we can pinpoint through satellite technology and GPS, we can pinpoint any location on Earth, and it's, you know, and we can zoom in, and she presses something, and it zooms in on hangar W88.
Yeah,
where you guys are. And there's even like outside the hangar, there's a little limousine, and there's a little person walking around, which you know is Richard Benning talking on his phone. And then she zooms back out to the airport, and then she zooms out further, and it's New Olympus, and she zooms out further, and it's like the ocean. And yeah, so wow. It's this live map.
Whoa.
And then she says, and this is our viewing room. And so you walk through, there's like a blacked off box, and you walk through the door. There's screens all around. It's like the inside of, if you guys have seen the Las Vegas Sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like the inside of that. Cool. So she said, we have a viewing room here. And then she walks and she says, you follow me. And she goes to the other corner and down some stairs. And in the, she said, this is your room. This is your area where you get to unwind. And there is a first aid room. There's some dorm rooms with each of your names on the door. Oh. And then there's several other rooms that are there's no names on them. There is a media room, a games room, a workout room. There's a holding cell. Far end, underneath where the plane would be, there is a pool and a hot tub and a sauna.
Damn.
Thanks for the sauna.
For once, Falstaff is short of words.
Yeah,
I didn't know my jaw could drop any further.
Yeah, I just go like, well, action figures sold separately.
This is incredible.
May I ask pretty quick, how did you come up with all these ideas? Like, did you have this come right out of your head by yourself, or do you have a team that helped you, or where did you, you know, like, how did you figure out all of these things that would?
Oh, I've been thinking about this for a long time. So this is just ideas. I tend to tinker.
Yeah,
that's why Mr. Benning called me that. I'm a pioneer. So that's why I kind of took that name, because I just think outside the box.
Well, this is incredibly impressive. I just was, if you're a one woman show, wow, this is fantastic.
Yeah, and you should see her dig. You know, like it's.
Yeah.
Because of the construction and whatever, right? I don't know which.
I thought you were going with a pioneer thing.
No,
there.
I when he said, you know, it's a one man show, I pictured this is how she got yourself those arms, because she was digging the hole.
She constructed the whole thing herself.
Like, damn. I'm sorry that I had to explain my joke.
That's
I apologize.
Okay. That's okay. It's all good. So as you guys are downstairs and you're talking and stuff, you hear, well, are you agreeable? And Richard comes into interview.
Sir, I don't know if I could be more agreeable if I tried.
I'll take that as a yes.
Yeah, I think this is going to work.
From the bottom of my heart and all our hearts, on behalf of all of us, thank you.
Well, we will have the paperwork drawn up and present it to you shortly. In the meantime, what I would like to suggest, if you are agreeable, I know you must have certain things on the go, but there's going to be a bit of a steep learning curve when it comes to the vehicles and so forth upstairs. And so I think we need to put our training caps on, and Pioneer can help you out with that. We'll get you up to speed. And I hope you don't mind. I encourage you to work closely with the protector units and Officer Maddie and the such. But there might be some things that I will need you to do as well in due course, if that is agreeable to you. Your choice, of course. Your choice, of course.
Sure.
Willie's
thanks.
It's a little bit of a tingle.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Well, why don't we do this then? Why don't we'll leave you to the rest of the day to explore your new surroundings. Again, I don't know what your current living arrangements are. You are more than welcome to stay here. Like, the dorm rooms are all decked out. They're quite nice. They're not just a room. There's like a little, private room, bath area, small. It's a communal kitchenette, but it's not just like a... It's not just a bedroom. There's a little more of a sitting area and that sort of thing in each one of the rooms. He said, you're more than welcome to stay here. It's totally up to you. But we'll get that paperwork set up for you. And shall we start the training tomorrow?
Absolutely. I just need to go back to the hotel room where I'm sitting and get my things.
Yeah, I just nod enthusiastically. Yep.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got to go pack up my apartment. I would love to not have to pay rent anymore. I'm good.
Excellent. Okay. So over the course of the day, there's a lot of stuff going on. If people are going to go and get their stuff and then come back and that sort of thing, by the time you come back, the contracts are there. It's personal services contracts directly to Richard Benning and Benning Biotech for the annual salary of $120,000 a year. So it's $2,500 a week, $10,000 a month. That gives you... Now, it is not stipulated sort of, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. It's quite open-ended when it comes to that. Again, it's just a personal services contract. He does agree to... Benning Biotech agrees to cover damages that may happen in... superhero battles.
Oh, yeah. That's huge.
Yeah. As well as, you are registered heroes, so that's sort of covered already. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. But it's you've kind of got the backing of Benning Biotech behind you. And so do you guys have any questions?
Can I do a census check to see if there's any like small print on the contract?
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
Thank you. I get 26, 30.
30?
Yes.
Looks good to you.
All right. Good.
I mean, there's tons of small print.
Yeah, that was that, that was not.
It's like the Apple contract.
Or the old, there used to be a place called Blockbuster, and it had like this big contract.
You pointed right to Tash when he said that.
Yeah.
Like you
I've rented a movie before.
Exactly. There you go. Well, anyway, okay, but I don't see anything that.
No, it doesn't look anything untoward or anything like that. And as you guys are going over the contract and looking at it, he says, the other thing is that I'm hoping that you take advantage of some of the resources we have. And Bert here is, like I say, if you need anything, let her know. I know you're knee deep in the middle of your Tomorrow's Children investigation, and congratulations, by the way. It's been nonstop on the news media about the All-Star incident and stuff, and so you guys are getting a ton of press. And it's interesting. Almost immediately after you guys sign, there's TVs all over this place. The announcement has been made that the last line is now sponsored by Benning Biotech. Pioneer has little patches for you guys to put on your shoulders.
I was just gonna ask if that was gonna happen.
This BBT, Benning Biotech, and there is a later that evening, there's some footage of Richard talking about how excited he is to help support the team's, or the city's newest and potentially one of the greatest super teams that the city has ever known. They've come out of the gate flying, and I believe in them wholeheartedly. So he really lays it on thick.
I call Badger and tell him what's going on and that he should come hang out at the new digs?
Hello? Who this?
New phone?
I got burned last time by his voicemail, so I'm like, Badger, we
please
just
leave a message at this on the I'm kidding. Hello, Terry. What can I do for you? Gary and I are just having some beers.
Oh, he's with you?
Oh, yes. Say hi, Gary.
Perfect.
Hi, Gary.
That's so funny. This guy.
Well, I mean, if you guys want to finish up those beers and head to, I'm going to send you an address.
1983 Claremont.
1983 Claremont Court.
In Point Grey.
We've got a surprise for you guys.
Ooh, what is it?
You'll have to come see.
Is it soft serve? I love soft serve.
Is there a soft serve machine?
Oh, yeah. There's everything.
It absolutely is soft serve Badger.
All right, I will be there in a minute. I'll take the Badger buggy.
Get over here.
And then he quietly says, is it for Gary too? Or is it just for me?
I have two soft serve machines.
All right, Gary, we're going on a road trip. And they, so away they go.
Interesting. Just a question.
Yes, of course.
Is there doors with Badger's and BO's name?
You mean OB's name?
OB's.
B.O.
Badger and B.O.?
Yes. Badger and B.O. That is what I meant, of
yes,
course.
Yes,
OB.
There's not, okay. But there is. There are extra dorm rooms that don't have names on them.
I was just wondering, Mr. Benning.
And, Benning has said, anybody is welcome.
No. I was just wondering if he just assumed that they were part of the team and they put in.
Well, so. I think he kind of did assume that because he did ask where they were. Yeah. And but you said that they're
they're associates. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
I'm poking the matrix is what I'm doing.
I love it. All right. So, so what else are you guys going to do? Anything?
First of all, I'm going to go get a swim and soft serve.
All right.
At the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Swimming with a soft serve.
There's a swim up bar and it's just a soft serve.
It's a soft serve. Perfect.
No. I'm not planning to move in there. So, while everyone's, bringing in their stuff or whatever, I'm just hanging out.
Sure.
You know what I do? When Google Maps first came out, yes, I am old, but when Google Maps
I do remember that.
Yeah. That everyone started to, you would look your own address.
Sure. Yep.
And so I go and look for the Tomorrow's Children's arena, where they beat us up the first time.
Oh, yes. Yep.
So
yep.
I go to the clearing and I look at it on the thing.
Sure.
And I'm just like browsing the city and seeing what it looks like.
You can find it.
Yeah.
There's nobody there.
No, I'm just telling you what I'm doing.
Yep. Okay, cool.
And Bert's around? I was just going to say, as soon as I'm done moving my complete works of William Shakespeare that somehow miraculously survived the explosion into there as well. I was actually going to go and just look at some of the little gadgets and gizmos that Bert would have been working on her bench.
Okay. So right now she's working on it looks like a set of communicators, and she said, Falstaff,
yes,
hi, what can I help you with?
Oh, I was just looking around and thought I would just see what it is you're working on. And
I'm working on some these communicators. I think they're, I've only seen them from afar, but actually, can I take a look at your communicator?
Oh, absolutely.
And so she looks at her and she goes, yeah, that's crap. Okay. So these ones have much greater range, and I think you'll find them a little more suitable for you.
Oh, thank you.
But they're not done yet, but they will be done soon.
Oh, no. If I'm in your way at all, just tell me to buzz off and I will. And
no, fair enough. And she goes back to work.
All right. Then I just let her do her work.
Okay.
Then I come up and bother her. And I go, hi.
Oh, Paramount. Hi.
Hi. Sorry to bother you. I got just again, great work. I'm impressed as all hell.
Thanks.
I seriously am. I have one request, if I may, to put a little bug in your creative pioneer brain.
Okay.
Could you make the Aries have a ferret seat for safety?
Oh, of course. Thank you. I apologize. I never thought of that.
I didn't think you would have because but he's very important to the team and I really want to make sure he's safe in the carrying and
of course. And she puts her hand out and doesn't like pet him right away, just puts her hand out and Willie sniffs it and then jumps into her hand and she pets him and she's, oh my gosh, he's so cute. Yeah, yes, of course. I'm happy to do that.
Okay. And just know that he might be a little skittish in the lab. He's not exactly what you might call comfortable in lab surroundings. So if he's a little skittish, just know that it's not you. It's probably just what you represent.
Of course. Of course. Okay. No, thank you. And it's a very different setup than it was there. This is more like a workbench. Mm-hmm. It's a huge workbench, but yeah. Okay.
Okay.
It's kind of like... It sounded like Richard Stark's work stuff. In the fuck!
You're welcome.
Sorry. No,
you know what? I totally deserve it. I deserve
that's
that.
That's okay. He's one of my favorite characters. My favorite gag on his name was at the end of Civil War when the Stan Lee comes in as UPS guy and looking for Richard Stank.
Richard Stank.
is Richard Stank here? Yeah. Is Richard? Yeah. Anyways, okay. So she says, yes, of course I can do that. No problem. Perfect. I'll get to work on that right away.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Anything, Dart?
Oh, I'm just trying to figure out where everything is, like get the lay of the land, how to work the soft serve.
Honestly, the soft serve looks like the only thing that looks easy in this place because it's just a lever that you pull down, up and down. Everything else is like super high tech and touchscreen and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, if you were saying there's like a kitchenette and everything, like a shared communal space, then I'm going to... try and make some nachos.
But you know what? I interrupted. Go, how do you work this cappuccino machine, Terry? Can you show me?
And I... it's like, I get a 1,000-mile stare.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Do they have tea?
No, and then I work it perfectly. I just have a 1,000-mile stare while doing so.
And without breaking eye contact.
And it's the best cappuccino you've ever tasted.
Damn good.
And then I just back into my normal Dart self.
Meta question. I may. Nat, can you do the little leaf on the coffee thingy?
I have done it successfully perhaps twice. Right.
I was never successful at that.
I can always put a little heart in the top. So I can do a heart, but I can't do the entire leaf.
Oh, there you go, fans. Yeah. You know,
I didn't enjoy my job enough to even try.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I've never tried it. But yeah, okay, cool. I was just wondering. Either way.
Okay. Badger and Gary come out. They arrive. You hear the doorbell ring, and on the TV camera, that's they can't get in because the code doesn't work, or they don't know what the code is. And they're like, "Hello, let us in! Let us in! You're keeping us out in the cold." Well, that's not really that cold, but you know what I mean. It's a figure of speech.
I go and open the door. Okay,
so they come in and they're blown away by everything. They're like, "Hold, Badger, zut alors!" Incredible.
I go up to every individual thing and I'm like Will Smith showing off his wife at the Oscars. Just like, boom, look at this. Boom, look at this. Like
and then you just punch somebody.
Punch for no reason.
This is a different Oscars
show. Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, so they're blown away by everything. And so, again, the lawyers are there. They get you guys to sign everything. Benny makes the announcement. It's all good. Bert comes in and says, okay, so we've worked out a training regime, I hate to say, but it is going to be quite intensive. But by the end of it, you'll all be certified to be able to fly the Ares or drive the Bull or fly or drive one of the Mongoose. So she lays out the training schedule, and it's going to be about a month and a half, 2 months, and it's intense. The training you guys did at Powers Division, which was 3 months long, that went over like law enforcement and all that kind of stuff. This is very much more focused on being a team and working together. And so the stuff that you guys talked about in the gym on the Sunday, it is all going to come to fruition now, because by the end of this training thing, you are all going to level up again.
Oh, sweet.
Yes.
Well, yes. Leveling up. Mm.
As well as by the time the end of the training happens, it is going to be Christmas.
Oh.
Cue the montage music.
Yes. What the fuck was that? That was the last line training montage music.
No, you know what? It should have been. No, the Benny Hill.
Fantastic. I like mine better. So, question for you guys. Are Gary and Badger doing any of the training?
We should.
I was going to suggest it.
I was going to say, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I have no issue with them doing the training. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, should we ask the guy who's bankrolling this if they are going to be joining us and they're going to be offered contracts? Is this just, you know, like just dotting the I's, crossing the T's and whatnot? Like,
I think we'll kind of hand wave it that both of them would just kind of want to be reserve.
Like, okay.
They're there to help out.
Okay, well, yeah.
And they're both okay with that?
They're both okay, totally okay with
then,
that, yeah.
Then,
because they have other things that's going on as well, right?
But involving them in the training would be for their own benefit as well as ours, so that if
yep.
Yeah,
yep.
So.
Yep.
We could, I don't know.
But we can put a little sign on a dorm room for each of them, though, I would say.
Written in crayon.
Yes.
Well, I was thinking Post-it.
Yeah, Post-it. No,
perfect. Yeah, just draw a little badger on it.
Or a little French
little French flag.
Fleur-de-lis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so.
But maybe he's Quebecois, you know.
Could be an upside-down fleur-de-lis then.
Badger just says, I am not Quebecois.
There you go.
All right. So Christmas. So it is Christmas time. So you guys have been training hard. You've been training hard as a team. You've been training hard on the Aries. And it's really cool because this part of the airport, like I say, it's mainly cargo planes and stuff. But you can Pioneer or Bert sets up like offensive and defensive driving courses for you to drive the bull. And there's huge open spaces. Think of speed when the bus is just going on that infinite loop around. Yeah. So there's lots of empty space and you all take turns. And what I would like you to do is, can everybody give me an agility contest, please?
That would be a 26.
27 for me.
Sorry, Falstaff, what'd you get?
That was a 26.
Hey, Aster?
24.
Pat?
31.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, what? Sorry, Willie was 31.
Okay, no, Willie doesn't
roll. Go. Okay, and...
It's to drive the thing, and Willie can't drive.
No, 31.
31, okay. Can you give me another agility contest, please?
That would be a 27 this time.
36.
31.
22.
Okay. And one more, please. Shit.
Crit fail.
Oh, no.
26.
That was your dice, Dasha. Oh,
no. My dice gave you a crit fail.
Thank you, Ta.
I got a 38.
Holy cow. All right. Well, okay. So, after all the training, the Aries, basically the best pilots and the best drivers are both Paramount and Dart. the
worst one is me.
Well, Aster, you're pretty good on the motorcycle and not so bad in the plane and okay in the bull. So, but the motorcycle, you're very good on the motorcycle.
Not
and you're not bad at the bull as well. But I think your top two drivers are Paramount and Dart.
Well, take jokes on you, because I get, you know, backseat seasick or backseat
motion
sickness. So jokes on you too.
Perfect.
I mean, you can still have shotgun.
You know what? You could heal yourself.
That's
this
true.
This is also true.
Just consistently going.
I stand correct.
Healing
himself. I stand correct.
Stamina by the end of the trip.
So with the training, so on the plane, okay, on the plane, Paramount, you're going to get a major advantage to piloting roles.
Cool.
If you're flying. Dart, you're going to get a major advantage on driving rolls when you're driving the bull. And you, Dart, you will also get a major advantage when you're driving the mongoose.
Hell yeah.
The two of you, Dart will get a... Actually, you know what? Falstaff, you're pretty close as well. Dart and Falstaff will both get a minor advantage when piloting the plane.
On the plane?
Yep.
Oh, sweet. Thank you.
Paramount, you'll get a minor advantage, so it's a +3 when driving the bull. And Aster, you're going to get a minor advantage when driving one of the mongoose.
But I still have my looks, so you know.
You do.
And do I get a major disadvantage whenever I'm driving the mongoose?
It freaks you out. There's something about it, yes. I don't think you can drive a mongoose.
I don't like motorcycles.
No.
No.
Okay, so after
cushion, if I get hit,
after a long bit of training and working and so forth, like I say, it's Christmas, and the six of you decide to do a secret Santa with each other. So, so you're sitting there. Bert has set up a Christmas tree in one corner of the base by the kitchenette. It's very tastefully decorated with all sorts of little gizmos and gadgets that she's worked on. I don't think she's given you your communicators yet, so they're all on the tree as decorations with little name tags on you guys. And that's her gift to you. She said, when you finish with Christmas, the communicators, you guys can take them. Yeah, so who would like to go first?
Well, first of all, before anything happens, as she gives us the communicators and we all put them in, I grab the old ones and I store them.
Oh, okay, sure. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Just out of curiosity, what will be the range on the new communicators? Do we know that yet?
You don't know yet.
Okay.
She's still calculating it.
Okay.
Which is code for Chad didn't think about it.
Just wondering.
Somewhere between a kilometer and how they were in Endgame when they basically went across the entire solar system and different galaxies and stuff.
So good.
Yeah, nothing like that. All right, so would anybody like to go first?
Sure.
All right.
Good.
So, Pat.
Yes.
Who do you give your gift to?
I'm giving my secret gift to Gary.
To Gary.
I got Gary, and I'm going to give him... I went back to my roots, and I was thinking more and more about roots, and it dawned on me that I could give him a super surfer dude frosting style and special cut.
What?
Yeah.
No!
Merry Christmas, Gary.
That's cool!
Oh, I thought you might like it.
And he, like, takes a cowl off. He's like, okay, do me up!
All right, here we go.
And I think Bert's like, well, maybe later, let's why don't we finish everybody first, and then we can... And Gary's like, oh, okay, but that's rad, man, thank you.
No
that's
problem,
awesome,
dude.
Actually, when he takes his cowl off, you realize that he shaves his head. He doesn't have any hair. No, I'm kidding.
And I look over at Bert and I go, have you got any like aluminum foil? Because I'm going to have to like...
Absolutely. We've got all that.
Okay.
And perm solution? All that kitchen crap.
Cool.
Wait for Pat to finish foiling Gary's head. Exactly. And then while he's processing, we can keep doing it.
All right. Anybody else want to go?
Terry gets up and grabs a bag from underneath the tree and hands it to... Reggie.
Okay.
Oh.
And inside she's gotten a ceramic coffee cup printed with Sir Reginald around the outside and crocheted a little hand warmer. A little sleeve to keep your hands from being too hot on the coffee cup.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
But Reginald spelled
wrong. In all honesty, Morgan here is going, that's a really cool gift. I'm genuinely, Falstaff is genuinely touched. Absolutely. Thank you.
And it's spelled right, I promise.
It is. Thank you. But, you know, Terry, since you're here, and I reach behind and I pass... Terry a gift, and when Terry opens it up,
Falstaff says, I just want you to know that this took a lot of pride in order for me, a lot of humbling in order for me to do this. And you open it up, and it is a complete set of Winners Never Quit. you open it further. There is a headshot of All Star that says, to my biggest fan, Terry.
I just pass
out. And on the
bottom
it says, All Star.
I just faint immediately.
Wow.
Wow. No, I run to my room and I put it up on the wall, and then I I go to Falstaff's room and find a headshot and ask him to sign it for me so I can put it up beside.
Oh. And I have many.
That's what I thought. So.
I wasn't prepared.
So
gee, how could I have anticipated this situation?
I love that he signed it All Star.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. I think Gary's gonna go. Gary's like, so I'm pretty excited about this, and I hope the person's really excited too. And so he goes and he gets a package. It's a box, and as he brings it over towards Raul, it's rattling inside, and it's quite a large box. And so he hands it to you.
You got me a puma?
No, it's pumas rattle.
That's not a rattle.
When they're put in a box, like they do.
No. You open it up, inside are, it looks like a huge collection full of cookie cutters.
Oh.
And so I had Bert help me out with this. They're all, I've thought, with the way you can like make shapes with your hands and stuff.
I know.
They're all things you could practice on how to make shapes. And there's like Christmas trees. And there's
so cool.
Yeah, there's baubles and there's snowmen.
I love it.
And all sorts of weird cookie shapes, houses and stuff.
I love it. Said,
I just thought that, you know, I mean, when you made that lunchbox, man, that was the funniest thing I ever saw. So I just thought that, you know, you could practice and
I do.
Anyways,
yes.
Maybe it's stupid. I don't know. No.
Muscle memory or molecular memory or whatever. Yes, of course.
Awesome.
No. I love it.
Awesome, man.
It's so cool.
That's good. And also, you can make some cookies, and I really like cookies.
Yeah. You know, not on the same day that I practice, though. Or, you know.
No. But yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Thanks. I hung him, and he like,
gives
you
a big,
man,
gives a big
so
bro
much.
Hug.
Good. And then I turn to Badger, and I go like, Badger.
Oh yes.
Give me $5.
Give you $5?
Yes.
Do you? Oh, okay. The Secret Santa means something different here than it does. Okay, and he gives you $5.
Okay, and so I go to under the tree and I grab the box and I give it to Badger.
Okay.
Who opens it and yes. wraps it, and inside there is a pair of muffled shoes.
Of what, sorry?
Muffled shoes.
Muffled shoes, okay.
Yes, which will give him a major advantage on skill contests when trying to sneak around.
Oh!
With these shoes, there's also a receipt for $5. And, on the back of it, there's a note that says, there's an ancient Celtic tradition that says that a man should never get shoes as a gift, and he must always pay for them so that he will always be the owner of the road he's walking on.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Badger is stunned. He doesn't know what to say. And he just gets a little tear in his eye. He goes, This is the nicest thing. This is, oh, Raul. You're a gem.
Oh, and he gives you a big kiss on both cheeks. On both cheeks.
Thank God, thank God.
On both cheeks.
He's fresh, not guilty.
Both cheeks. Both cheeks. So he immediately puts them on, and he starts running up the wall and across the ceiling and down the other wall. And it's just like...
Making no noise
making
at all.
Making no noise.
Yeah.
Except for he's going, look at me. Look at me. I am so quiet. Oh, you cannot hear me. Look at me. He goes, Darth, I bet you make more sound on the roof than I do.
And I run on the roof, clearly making more sound than he does.
Yes, I am the sneaky one now. Perfect. And he goes, okay, it is my turn. Pat, are you ready?
I'm never ready, but I'm always ready.
Okay, Pat, this is for you.
Oh.
And he hands you a package.
Mm-hmm.
And beside the package, there's like a...
It's like a little separate package, and it says in crayon, it says to Willie on the package. Cool. But your package, it's long. It's a long and slender box.
Oh, thanks. Badger. So I start opening it up, and
okay. So the long and slender box. When you open it up, it is a beautiful pair of scissors to cut with. And each one of them has, and in the center, you notice there's not a screw that's holding them together. It's just like a little latch. And each one of them is covered with a sheath. And he says, I noticed that the cross stitch in the front of your uniform, you could, I don't know, maybe keep these scissors in there. And if you wanted to, you know, in case you had an emergency haircut or, I don't know, wanted to stab someone in the neck.
As one is and I sort prone
take,
to do.
So I take them and they do fit perfectly in the crosshairs on my chest plate.
The cross stitch, yes.
Cross stitch on my chest plate. This is fabulous. Thank you very much. They fit perfect. Oh, whoa. They're sharp.
Yes, that's why they have the little scissor condom on it. It's so you don't get poked.
Thank you. I appreciate you considering me not being poked, and I do appreciate. These are fabulous. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And this is it's a little something for the rat.
it's a chef's hat.
And Willie goes.
And so you open it up. And it is a tiny little hood and blue hood.
Oh,
and
my
cape.
God!
So it looks just like your hood and cape.
Hey. That's sweet.
So Willie poses for everybody. Does
absolutely.
A
spin.
So he says, Merry Christmas, everyone!
Merry Christmas!
I hope we all have a fabulous year.
Yes!
We are on the right trek to do it. Thank you. And it's great being part of all of this team with you guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks for celebrating with us.
Yes,
absolutely. And so as the party is winding down and you guys are all feeling good and there's a fireplace there and you're all sitting around and drinking eggnog and having a good time. Bert gets a phone call and she says, really? Okay, thank you. And she hangs up and she says, we have to turn on the news right now. And she goes and clicks the news on. And there is a news report that is, it looks like it's midway through it. And there's a reporter on there. And you guys recognize her from the news. Her name is Sasha Sage. And she's on the scene. And behind her, she looks like she's in a wooded area. And you come in and she's talking about, and it says, Massacre in the Greenbelt is the title underneath, like the scroll.
Oh my God.
And, That she's in the middle of talking about that there's this massacre that's taken place at a remote location in the Greenbelt. And she's on the scene and there's a clearing behind her. And she can't get past, you know, the protector unit barricades, but you can see people, protector units going down, looking like, it doesn't look like the clearing you guys were in, but it looks like a very similar clearing from before. And you can see that there's vehicles and stuff all around the center of the clearing. And there's people going, looks like they're walking down a ramp into the earth below. And she says, I'm here right now with Officer Mendel Sands, who is going to give us some information. And again, thank you, Mendel Sands. This is a callback. Mendel Sands keeps tweeting about our show. We love you, Mendel. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mendel Sands.
We haven't heard about or seen Mendel since the collective episode of season one. But Mendel, you're making a big comeback. So Officer Mendel Sands, and he says, I can't go into too many details, but... Quite frankly, Sasha, it's a slaughter inside. I've never really seen anything like it. And just then, Paramount, your cell goes off.
And I pick it up and I go, and do I recognize the number?
Yes, yeah, Maddie.
Oh, hi, Maddie.
Hey, Pat, are you watching the news?
Yeah, we just turned it on.
Okay. So I'm here.
Okay.
I'm in the compound. Is the team with you? Are you with them?
Yes, we're all at the
Can you put me on speaker? Where's Terry?
Sure. She's right here.
Hey.
Terry.
What's up?
Hi. Well, it's not good. It's a massacre down here. It looks like the remains of what I can only guess to be the Earth Elemental is here.
Whoa.
Along with the remains of, I don't know how many, Tomorrow's Children disciples. and there's something else. There's a note or for you written on the wall, and it says, and it's scrawled on the wall, and it says, "You got two barely. I got one easily. I'm going to finish what you started the right way, permanently." And it just has a big S after that. And we'll end it there.